Good morning, I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. By now, you've heard about Ski Link, the plan to build a ski tram connecting Park City with Big Cottonwood Canyon. Proponents say it would push Utah to the top of the national ski food chain, provide jobs, help solve the traffic problems in the canyon, and have very little environmental impact. We heard those views from Mike Gore from the Canyons last week. Today on the program, we hear a decidedly different view. With me this hour, Carl Fisher. He is executive director of Save Our Canyons, a nonprofit dedicated to protecting the Wasatch Canyons, mountains, and foothills based here in Salt Lake City. He joins me in studio. And Carl Fisher, thanks very much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I should turn on the right microphone.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
there we
thanks.
Are. Later on in the program, we're talking photography, wet plates, and vintage photography with Josh Blumenthal. But first, Ski Link. Do you think it will help solve the traffic congestion in the canyons? And if you're a backcountry skier or a boarder, would you use the tram? Give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Carl Fisher, as I mentioned, Mike Gore was on the show last week talking about the virtues of this proposal. We'll get to the specifics as we go, but just briefly, why does Save Our Canyons really think Ski Link is a bad idea?
Well, we don't think that it's going to actually solve the, it's not the transportation solution that the proponents from Canyons and Solitude Ski Resorts have pitched it to be. We think there will be significant impacts to backcountry recreationists, to our viewshed of the Wasatch Mountains, you know, maintaining that natural, the scenic beauty of that canyon there. And also, you know, I think it'll just, well, it'll be really an eyesore. And I don't think that they've done the due diligence of the environmental reports that came back in their own studies that said, you know, there will be impacts to species. There will be, there could be impacts to the watershed. So,
when did you hear about the Ski Link proposal in its current iteration? I mean, this idea of linking ski resorts has been around for a long time. But when did you hear about this proposal, and how do you think this one is different?
Well, we had heard kind of mumblings about it when we were right before 2010, when we were introducing the Wasatch Wilderness proposal for the first time with Congressman Jim Matheson. And there had been kind of rumors, and we introduced that legislation, and then, you know, we dropped the bill, and they said, well, I think the Canyons is going to try and attach some sort of legislation to the bill, but we had no idea what that was, you know, and then Ted Wilson left the governor's office to join Talisker and work
which
on
owns the canyons.
Which owns the Canyons Resort. And that's kind of when we really learned about what their intentions were. And then a few months later, they had introduced a bill into Congress.
What does your membership think about this? Clearly, you were opposed to it. But when word started to get out, were you getting phone calls from people who support Save Our Canyons, and what were their thoughts?
We've been getting phone calls from people that support Save Our Canyons and people who traditionally haven't supported Save Our Canyons. It's really, the community has really come together around this issue because people are really concerned about the development in the Wasatch Mountains and the way that these developments are starting to take form. You know, they're not going through public processes. And I think that's what a lot of people got people's attention with this issue, was that there was no dialogue about this. There was a bill going through Congress, and that was the dialogue, is that, you know, we have two senators and two representatives in D.C. that are pushing this initiative for a Canadian company. And that really made our membership, but also just a lot of people who enjoy these mountains, really angry.
Why does that process bother you, though? I mean, the canyon said that Mike Gore last week said that there was no other avenue for them to actually apply for a permit for this. So they had to appeal directly to the congressional delegation, that the U.S. Forest Service would not, I mean, there was no way for them to petition otherwise, besides going straight to the top.
Well, right. I think that there is an avenue, and they chose not to pursue it because it didn't look like they were going to get it passed. And it's because we have an existing Forest Service plan that says no ski area expansion. The Forest Service looked at the project, they met with the canyons, and said, this is most certainly ski area expansion. This isn't transportation, despite what your own studies say. We have to analyze this as a ski area expansion. So there was an avenue for them to pursue it, but since the forest plan says no ski area expansion, and that forest plan was created, you know, through dialogues with Salt Lake County, with Salt Lake City Watershed, with the public, with the ski resorts, you know, that's the plan that they're operating against. And essentially, you know, the American people said, we don't want more ski area development in these canyons. And so that's why it went congressional. They had an opportunity, but did they have an opportunity where they saw they would get the project they want? Probably not.
Speaking today with Carl Fisher, Executive Director of Save Our Canyons, and we're talking about Ski Link, the somewhat controversial proposal to build a gondola between the Canyon Ski Resort in Park City and Solitude in Big Cottonwood Canyon. If you'd like to join our conversation, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Carl Fisher, I want to expand on this idea of expansion. I asked the question to Mike Gore last week, if this was indeed an expansion of the resort, as you contend. Here's his response.
Well, we think what is inherent with expansion of alpine skiing are service roads, snowmaking, ski runs, all of those things that, as I say, are inherent with alpine skiing. What is unique about this proposal is none of that is included. It's transporting skiers and snowboarders from one resort to the next. So not unlike any other form of transportation other than this form is less impactful. Aerial transportation is the least impactful of any type of transportation that we've talked about, whether it's expansions of roads, more buses. Aerial transportation leaves less of a footprint.
Okay, that's Mike Gore speaking on KCPW last week. Carl Fisher, okay, there's not a road proposal with this. We're not talking about building a new lodge or ski runs. So how can you call this an expansion?
Well, I think, first of all, there's no guarantee that there won't be future expansions. We're selling public lands to a developer. When the canyons built the 9990 lift back, early 2000 or 1999 area, they said this is what we want to do. There will be no impact on the backcountry whatsoever. If you go up 9990 today, the backside of the bear trap drainage coming into Big Cottonwood Canyon, which used to be a place that backcountry skiers could go to escape, you know, resort skiing and that type of activity, is now moguled from people coming over from the canyons resort. And it's a—
Do you have a sense of the volume? How many skiers are actually doing
that? I was up there one sunny day a few weeks back, and we counted about 50 people coming over that ridge just in the hour or so that we were up high in that bowl, the hour or two. But the fact that it was moguled in the backcountry, you know, that's pretty intensive use. And every person that I talked to on the trail just kind of posing questions, where did you come from? Where did you come from? Because maybe these people were all coming from Big Cottonwood Canyon. Every one of them said, oh, we came over from the canyons. We rode 9990, hiked for 2 minutes, and now we're here. And for that impact to spill over into, you know, Willow Fork or Mule Hollow and ride down to Solitude and get a ride back up to the canyons, it is, and people do it every day. So for Mike Gore to say that it's too hard or it's too much, you know, it's, people are already riding an hour and a half, five lifts to get to where Ski Link would start. You can ride two lifts to 9990 and hike over to the backcountry, into that backcountry area, faster than you could ride the four or five lifts at the canyons to get to Ski Link. It would actually be faster to hike out 9990, ski over to Solitude, than it would to be to ride the five lifts.
Here's what Mike Gore had to say about that backcountry intensive use on the program last week.
If those who have suggested that it may impact the backcountry, if we look at it from a practical standpoint, the terminals, the points of entry and exit for the lift, are within the terrain or the boundaries of the existing resorts. There's no exit point at the ridgeline. And so, practically speaking, a user would need to ride one of the other lifts, and for those familiar with the terrain, it likely would be the 9990 lift at Canyons. Mm-hmm. They would have a long hike to get into the drainage that could gain access to the base of the ski link lift at Solitude. And they certainly could do that. That physically is possible. And then they would ride the lift back up. They would be dropped again down deep into the terrain of Canyons Resort and would need to do a full cycle to get back to 9990. We're talking hours to make that loop. It's simply not practical, and that is not what backcountry skiers or alpine skiers for a backcountry experience are going to go through.
Mike Gore speaking on KCPW last week. Carl Fisher, so you say this is a reality, though. People are already doing that. How would SkiLink enhance or how would it encourage people to more people to do what's already happening?
So right now, I mean, people are kind of staying in that upper drainage really near the 9990 lift, and they just lap that upper bowl, which is where most people are trying to get to. High altitude, obviously, you mm-hmm. know, north-facing terrain has the best snow. if you give people a ride back, you're going to expand, you're going to creep the amount of terrain that resort skiers from the canyons are going to have access to, because they'll be able to go over the ridgeline into the Willow Fork. It'll be a lot quicker than riding the five lifts. And no, they're not going to lap that area maybe, but they'll stay back there. They'll ski into Bear Trap. They'll ski into Willow Fork. They'll ski into, USA Bowl or things like that. And then ski down to Solitude at the end of the day, get a ride back over to the canyons. And it's essentially a de facto expansion of the ski resort in one of the only places left in the central Wasatch where there currently exists real no user conflict. Everywhere else that skiers, and I'm talking about moderate ski terrain, not the expert ski terrain, you know, you can go climb chutes and not see anybody. But I don't think the average person can really do that. You know, you have helicopters in all the other areas of the Wasatch that these types of activities are taking place. And so this is kind of the last terrain available for backcountry skiing in the Wasatch, and we're essentially getting pushed out of it.
Speaking with Carl Fisher, he's executive director of Save Our Canyons, a nonprofit dedicated to protecting the Wasatch Canyons. And we're talking about SkiLink, the controversial plan to build a tram over 30 acres of the Wasatch Range. If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. We need to take a break. We'll be right back. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City. Welcome back. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce. From congestion to development to impacts on the watershed, many questions confront Utahns when it comes to managing the Wasatch Canyons. And today we're continuing our conversation about SkiLink and other development issues facing the Wasatch Range with Carl Fisher of Save Our Canyons. And you can join us if you like. What do you think about selling 30 acres of U.S. Forest Service land to Talisker, which owns the Canyon Ski Resort in Park City? If SkiLink is built, would you use the gondola? 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Carl, I'd like to get our listeners in on the conversation. Let's go to Pete from Salt Lake City. Pete, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. Hi, I was just wondering, I had heard one of the reasons behind Ski Link was that it would, cut down on vehicle traffic in the canyon and save on parking and whatnot. But I'm a season pass or a partial season pass holder at Solitude. And to me, it just seems like, any vehicles saved coming over from Park City would just be picked up by people who live in Salt Lake who just drive up Big Cottonwood to go to the canyons and park at Solitude. I know I skied the canyons once this year, and, I would much rather drive up Big Cottonwood and park there and, and go over. So I just don't think that it would save any car traffic. And I guess I'd like to get some comments on that and see if they thought about that.
Great. Thanks so much. Before I get Carl Fisher's response, I want to play how Mike Gore explains it from the canyons. This is his take on the transportation solution he's putting forward, he says.
Well, it moves 1,000 people an hour. And to put that in context, that would be in the neighborhood of 25 UTA buses traveling up a road per hour, one every, couple of minutes. And so it moves a lot of people, and 1,000 people an hour would certainly be impactful in terms of reduction of traffic.
Okay. Carl Fisher, what do you think? 1,000 people an hour, will it reduce traffic, as Mike Gore suggests, or are Pete's worries confirmed? It won't have any impact.
Yeah, I mean, the 1,000 people per hour isn't the reduction of passengers that's going to take place. That's the capacity of the lift. And I think those are two very different things. First, you have to identify who is going to use this type of transportation system. And going back to some of the transportation, it exists only for skiers. When I think of transportation, we have a year-round transportation issue in the Cottonwood Canyons with traffic. And catering only to skiers that are moving between two resorts in the, seven resort complex of the Central Wasatch is a small piece of the pie.
But it is a piece. Would you concede that?
Sure. I would definitely say it could reduce a number. It could reduce a couple of cars, a few cars. But to say 1,000 people per hour, that's the capacity. I don't think it's that. We kind of went through their transportation study and boiled down a couple of the numbers, and it seemed to us that it would take maybe 10 to 20 people or cars off the road per hour, which would be the addition, or probably not even the addition, of one UTA bus. So for us, it's, the benefit doesn't outweigh the costs, and we have existing infrastructure that we can utilize to move these types of skiers around. When, we just started a UTA service between Salt Lake County and Summit County, and so that could also help reduce a significant amount of, the drive-around time, since we have a bus going there, and it would actually be faster for people to ride the bus around from the canyons to Solitude than it would be to ride the five lifts.
Here is Mike Gore one more time on the traffic study, realizing that not everybody is buying the mm-hmm. what the consultant says. Here's his take on taking cars off of the road.
The traffic study that we commissioned in terms of numbers of cars we may take off the road, that is certainly debatable. It's always debatable. But there are certain types of users that we know would choose the lift over a rental car up I-80 or up Big Cottonwood Canyon Highway. And those are the visitors that on a daily basis roam from one resort to the next. And to be clear, Jennifer, the example of that is we have skiers that depart hotels at Canyons Resort every morning to spend the day in Big Cottonwood Canyon, and vice versa. There are people leaving Big Cottonwood Canyon to come over to Summit County to ski for the day. Those are the types of users that I think it's quite straightforward that those folks would choose a lift to get from resort to resort versus a rental car or their private vehicle and drive all the way around.
Now, how, Carl Fisher, how can you say that a UTA bus would be faster? Because this is an 11-minute ride between from resort to resort. If people staying at the canyons want to ski in Big Cottonwood, they do have to rent a rental car right now. They do have to make the long drive. Mm-hmm. So how would this not alleviate some of that that desire to get from the canyon,
so
one canyon to another?
The 11-minute lift is just one lift in the series of lifts that you have to take. And I went to the canyons in early January, put my little video camera on, and started my stopwatch. It took us almost 2 hours to get to where the base of Ski Lift or Ski Link would start. Riding resorts on a day that there was 4 inches of new snow. The lifts that we needed to get over to that area weren't running. By the time we would have got to Solitude, it probably would have been lunchtime. I mean, in all honesty, I mean, they can't get the lifts open in time. There's a lot of avalanche control that they need to take place to get those lifts in that area open. But 2 hours and riding 5 lifts and not even skiing. I'm like traversing, skiing from one lift to one lift. And we were moving to try and get it in that time slot. So, 11 minutes is only one of the lifts. It takes almost 2 hours to do it. But, I think the other thing is that their studies are based on conjecture and a lot of assumptions. And this is a quote from their transportation study. In the absence of a travel demand model, estimates were developed for the high and low end range of each origin destination pair. It's based off of assumptions because they didn't even have a traffic demand model to say that people are actually departing the canyons to come to the Cottonwood Canyons. And their economic study was based off of a conversation with a guy whose job it is to sell ski lifts, who they want to buy this ski lift from. So if I ask a guy, what's the best if I ask a UTA bus, UTA, they're going to say, well, buses are the best option for you. If I ask a guy whose job it is to sell ski lifts, what's the best transportation system? Of course he's going to say ski lifts.
Pete, thanks very much for the call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Talking about Ski Link, the proposal to build a gondola between Park City and Big Cottonwood Canyon, if you'd like to join us. In your online report, your sort of rebuttal of the Ski Link proposal on the Save Our Canyons website, you say once Ski Link goes live, it would set a nasty precedent. Mm-hmm. What evidence do you have of other resorts? Have you heard of other resorts scrambling to get in on this link idea? Are there proposals floating out there?
Well, there are about 9 or 10 expansion or lift proposals, interconnect proposals out there in the area right now. With the existing Forest Service plan saying no ski area expansion onto additional public lands outside of your permit boundary as it exists today, people are looking for ways around that. And one way around that is to introduce congressional legislation to usurp the public processes and the NEPA process and the forest planning process. And so that's the nasty precedent that we feel will be set because, Solitude is looking at doing something in Silver Fork as well. And we've seen proposals up to Peak 10420 from Brighton and Park City Mountain Resort and a Jupiter lift from Park City Mountain Resort kind of over to Brighton, and Alta wants to do a Grizzly Gulch lift, and there's all of these different, and the Flagstaff lift as well, with Alta doesn't seem to be off of the table completely yet. So, there are all these projects out there. The forest plan is being challenged by every single resort in this area, and it's going, if if the Forest Service, the ski resorts are essentially giving the Forest Service a kind of an ultimatum, change your plan or we're going to go congressional.
The Forest Service does own this land. In order for a ski link to be built, it has to be approved by, the sale needs to be approved by Congress, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And you contend that there would be serious impacts on the watershed. Mm-hmm. Mike Gore from the Canyons would say, look, it's less than an acre of land that we're actually disturbing to put these poles on. The mm-hmm. construction is not very intensive. We're not going to bring trucks up. We'll, you know, move our materials via helicopter. Mm-hmm. So how in the world is this going to affect the water that we drink and rely on here in the Salt Lake Valley? Carl Fisher?
Well, I think, you know, it's, you know, any earth-disturbing kind of construction project is going to have some impact other than leaving the land in the natural state that it is in today. And I think there's also impacts from the additional numbers of people that they're going to be introducing into the area. There are going to be, you know, they're going to have to cut trees down for kind of a clearance for the lift, which, you know, it could increase, you know, any number of watershed implications. And, you know, the Salt Lake City Public Utilities, they're the experts. They've had concerns with this project from day one. And, you know, they have a 100-year track record of providing water to the Salt Lake Valley. And when they're throwing up red flags from a project, you know, it's concerning. And it's, you know, there's the kind of multiple, all these proposals, maybe one proposal doesn't have it all, but when we're selling this land, we don't know what the future of that land is. And I don't think the Canyons is being honest with what their intention is in going into the future, saying, you know, where ski resorts make their money is in development, real estate development. And they're building this project adjacent to one of the biggest chunks of property in Big Cottonwood Canyon. And we honestly think that what this project is about is getting condos essentially in the Willow Heights drainage up towards Guardsman Pass, because that is very attractive development terrain for people who want to put condos and timeshares in that area. And I think that's what this proposal is really about. And there have even been rumors that the Canyons or Talisker is looking at acquiring Solitude Resort. So, you know, you start to see this huge resort complex owned by one huge development company. And I think it would have dire impacts, the developments that ensue, maybe not from the actual ski link project, but from the rest of the story, the other pieces of the story that we don't know, that they're not being honest about or being forthright about.
This email from Jonathan, writing from Cottonwood Heights. The notion that ski link will help with traffic and transportation. I take the bus, but would not have any reason to take ski link. And even if someone wanted to take ski link from Big Cottonwood to Park City, they would have to take a car or a bus up to the ski link terminus at Solitude, unless they are people staying at either end, either at Solitude or the Canyons Resort. Most of the traffic in the Cottonwoods comes from people driving up from the base on a daily basis. He continues from comments on the Stop Ski Link Facebook page. It seems like contacting local representation is useless, as the only non-supporting members of the legislature are outnumbered. Jonathan asks, what, as opponents, should we do to this proposal? What can we do to oppose this proposal?
You know, it's an election year, and we have a lot of officials seeking office. You know, I think we still have an opportunity maybe to convince Governor Herbert that this is bad for the Salt Lake Valley. Hopefully we tried to persuade him and failed. But we will still try. We'll keep trying to talk to other members of the congressional delegation. I mean, that's all we can do, and we need to keep the dialogue going. We can't let things, we can't let the conversation go away, because the second it stops being discussed, the second the letters of the editor stop running in the paper, you know, that's when they are able to really succeed, because it's kind of a PR thing for them. The more PR hits they get, the more they pull back a little bit. But
even if Congress approves the sale of this U.S. Forest Service land, the plan still has many hoops to jump through. Local jurisdictions in Summit and Salt Lake counties have to approve it. Salt Lake City, as you mentioned, manages mm-hmm. the watershed there. They would have to approve this plan. So really, I mean, it seems like it's far away from it's far from a done deal. How likely do you think this ski link plan would be to actually seeing the light of day?
Well, you know, if it is successful in Congress, you know, they would have to essentially change the local ordinances at Salt Lake County to get this through, I believe. It took Snowbird a matter of months to change the ordinance so that they could be successful in resubmitting another bid for their roller coaster, albeit in a different location. But, you know, the county council and the planning commissions at Salt Lake County, you know, it can be done, and it has been done, and it can be done quickly. So we would rather not see the sale of this land and put on the chopping block for development. It's not worth it. It's not worth it whatsoever.
We've only got about a minute left, but you mentioned the roller coaster
yeah.
proposal. Snowbird Resort wants to build a summertime coaster in the mountains. They've proposed this before. It's kind of been shut down. It's back. So how is the yeah. plan different now? What does the current plan look like?
So it sounds like they're going to put kind of the base or the first entry point of the coaster in the Peruvian Gulch area, and it'll kind of go up canyon to where the bypass road kind of snakes around and goes past Wasatch Powderberg Guides heliport, kind of in that vicinity, not all the way up to the heliport, but kind of in that area of Snowbird. We're glad that they're not going up Mount Superior, that they're not going across the highway, that they're tucking it into the base. But we still question whether, you know, this type of use is appropriate in these canyons, and if they're not better suited for amusement parks down in the valley. People that go to these mountains are going for an alpine experience, and they have certain times of developed activities at the resorts, and they have the alpine sides, and they have the zip lines. But we think, you know, it's not appropriate to build roller coasters.
And this is before the Salt Lake County Planning Commission right now?
It'll be going middle of May. There will be a public hearing on it.
Okay, we will be in touch on that one.
Great, thanks.
Carl Fisher, Executive Director of Save Our Canyons, thanks very much for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Coming up next, a one-of-a-kind experience with photography and the photographer Josh Blumenthal. But first, a break. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City.